God, we praise you for bringing us to this place this morning, to bring us together, whether we're in the building or whether we're online, whether we're watching this sometime throughout the week. We lift up your name this morning. God, as we continue throughout this morning, my prayer, our prayer, is that you would hear our praises roar, whether the voices are loud or whether they're a little bit hesitant because we don't know the songs as well. Lord, our praises can still roar through the middle of that, and we pray that that's what you would hear. Amen. Hey, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning, so I'm actually going to invite you to grab a seat. If you want to stand throughout the entire service, that's totally fine with me. That will not throw me off. That will not offend me in any way, shape, or form. I just think you're going to get tired at some point, and I don't want you getting tired because we've got a long ways to go. That's true. I did just tell everyone they could stand, and then I just told my daughter that she could go find a seat right over there. I think sometimes we forget what the word hallelujah means. I know I do sometimes, and so I try to remind people what it means, because really, it sounds like this nonsensical whatever, you know, we don't really know what we're saying at this point, but the word hallelujah actually means God be praised. And so in the midst of the storm, which we've got a lot of storms going on in our lives, I raise a God be praised up to him in the middle of all that. In the middle of the mystery of not knowing what's going on, I raise a God be praised in the middle of all that. And you just go through that song and all of these different circumstances that we find ourselves in, we say, I'm going to praise him regardless. That's why we've been starting our services with that little time just to kind of focus in a little bit, because I know how easy it is to walk in here and to have a lot of distractions on your mind, a lot of things pulling down your heart and making your heart heavy. And when we come in, we know that we can give those to him, and we can actually say, God, you know already what's on my heart. My hope is that you're talking to him more than just in here for an hour on Sunday morning. But that's a time where we can say, God, I'm not totally focused on what I'm here to do right now, but I want to be. And so we put that forward to him, and we say, God, just take this. And so that's why we've been starting off that way. We are, though, this morning going to kind of end a series that we've been in. And I know I told you several weeks ago that I wasn't going to spend a lot of time saying, like, hey, we're in the middle of this series. And then every week of this series, I've reminded you that we are in the middle of a series. I probably will not always do that, but obviously I've done that this time. But we've been in this series on I am a church member, and I understand that the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, we do not have official membership. And so, you know, the word church member means something a little bit different to us than it does to some other denominations or movements or non-denominations or all the different names that we have for churches these days. But I am a church member, meaning I am a part of the local church body, and I am a part of the larger church body. And because of that, there are certain things that I will do and I will be. And so we've been talking about those over the past several weeks. We talked about how, as a church member, I will commit to seeking unity. And as a church member, I will commit to being uncomfortable and to just embracing discomfort. We talked about last week, we had three gentlemen come up here and kind of share with you a little bit of their story and how important it has been to grow together with other people. And in the midst of that, you know, you heard them talk about just how important it is, going all the way back to Genesis, that we are with other people and we have other people in our lives to help us grow, and we have other people that we are helping grow in their walk. So I want to thank those gentlemen. I see all three of them right here in the same general vicinity. Thank you so much for standing up last week and for sharing a little bit of your stories, but also just sharing how important that is to do that. This morning, we're going to talk about how important it is to worship with others. For the longest time, as I was growing up, you know, we were always invited to close your eyes in worship and to have that be a time where this is just between you and God. And then I got to a point where I had a professor in college, and he introduced a new thought to me that I'm going to introduce to you, and I want you to wrestle with this. I want you to mull it over. I want you to think about it throughout the week. But he introduced this idea to us that church, coming to the local church gathering, now remember, this is not the church. This is a spot where the church gathers periodically throughout the week, throughout the month. If this was the church, then the church wouldn't really be doing a whole lot in the world. So this is the gathering of the church. But he said, as the church gathers, you're going to hear, close your eyes, and this is just between you and him. But really, the gathering is not about you and him. The gathering is about us and him. And so this professor actually made the challenge. He said, I don't ever close my eyes during service. I'm not there yet. I do close my eyes sometimes, especially when I'm praying. But I've known people who keep them open while they pray, because this isn't just a time for them and God. This is a time for the body and God. I believe that it's important as a church member to worship with other people. Because if this was just me and God, then I could do that in my home. I could do that in my car. And I wouldn't need to come and be with all of you on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or different times that we meet. I could just, if it was just about me and God, I can do that anywhere. But in Hebrews, in chapter 10 of Hebrews, and I believe we have this for the screen up here, but we're actually told by the writer of Hebrews, which we're not totally sure who that is, but we're actually told by the writer to not neglect meeting together, but instead to come together and to encourage one another. So Scripture, the writers in Scripture who were God-inspired, actually told us it is important to be together. And a little later on in this service, we're going to talk about the whys of that. But first, I want to give you the what. And as I think about the what, I'm drawn back to September 29th of 2014. On September 29th of 2014, the anticipation with my brothers and my father and I, and I believe we had a couple of nephews along with us too, but the excitement and anticipation of what we were about to participate in was just, it was palpable. Like, you could look around and you could see excitement on everybody's faces. I'd been to Creation Fest, which is a big, giant Christian music conference out in the Oregon, Washington area. I'd been to that several times, where it's 3 days of, they used to kind of call it the Christian version of Woodstock. It's 3 days of being outside and camping and smelling horrible and being amongst other people who are camping and smelling horrible and just worshiping God for these 3 days. And it's this incredible time. I'd been to Toby Mac's Winter Jam tour and been in the presence of so many people lifting up God's name in worship. I'd been to IYCs, I'd been to SYCs, and I know that's insider lingo. Those International Youth Convention and State Youth Convention, I had been to state youth camps over and over. Like, I'd been in youth ministry vocationally for about seven years at that point. But on September 29th of 2014, my brothers and my father and I think some nephews and I were walking in amongst so many others, thousands of other people who were just excited about what we were about to experience. And as we sat in the stadium that we were in, and the excitement grew and the passion grew, I could look around and I could see on people's faces the passion for what we were experiencing and the passion for the worship and the praise that we were heaping upon the people that were down on the football field in front of us. And on September 29th of 2014, our Kansas City Chiefs beat the New England Patriots and set the Guinness Book of World Records for loudest outdoor stadium crowd noise. I was a part of that. My voice was in that. I had my wrestling mask on with the Chiefs emblem on the side of it, and my brothers and I and my father, we were, well, my dad might not have been screaming as much, but my brothers and I, we were screaming. And now I am sure we had a nephew there, because his voice was a lot higher than ours, so his scream was a lot higher pitched at that point. Now it's kind of dropped a little, but the excitement of everyone around us just screaming all at the same time in worship and praise, and it hit me a little bit at that point, like, where is this excitement when we come together to worship the creator of the world? I actually, while I was at the game, and a gentleman about 10 rows back from us actually had to be carted out on a stretcher because he had drank so much that he had passed out and fallen down the stairs and cracked his head open. Like, they had to carry this man out on a stretcher, and as I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all the F-bombs just being shouted over and over again at the refs, or in excitement, Like, it's amazing how that same word can be used in anger and praise at the same time. And as I'm listening to all this other language, I actually had that moment of, I am never bringing my kids to a professional football game. Like, I don't want them to experience this excitement. But I was there, and my voice was one of the thousands of voices that broke the record for the loudest outdoor crowd noise in the world ever. We did actually beat the Patriots that day too. Just in case anyone's wondering, it was on a Monday night. It was glorious. It was awesome. I've never been back to Arrowhead Stadium since. Maybe because I just can't ever repeat that. Or maybe there's that piece of me that's like, I don't really want to experience all that stuff that went with that. Or maybe it's just the opportunity hasn't arisen. I don't know. If you want to buy me tickets, I'll put that to the test and I'll see if I'll go back to the game or not. But that same excitement for meeting together, honestly, we should have that for coming here. As a church member, there should be excitement. Now, if you have that, that's great. If you don't, then it could be you, or it could be others. It could be the local church body. It could be a lot of different things. But we are actually instructed to meet together. Now, as I looked around at that game, there were definitely people there who never miss a Kansas City Chiefs game. Or there were the very, very few who never miss a Patriots game. But mostly there were those who never miss a Chiefs game. And there are people there who have season tickets. And now, when I went to the game, it was really just me and my family, and we didn't know anybody else around us. But those who I've talked to who have season tickets to games, like, there is this draw almost to come and go to the game, to be around those people that you sit next to every single time. We're going to get to that a little bit later, because I believe that goes into the why we meet together and we gather together. But then, you know, as I'm looking around and I'm seeing these people who, if they're not at a game every single week, they're probably like I used to be when I had the capability to do this, and they're recording every game so they can make sure not to miss a minute. When we lived in Colorado and when we lived in Wyoming, we were in the mountain time zone, which is the worst. Well, I guess Pacific would be even worse. But the mountain time zone is not a good time zone if you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan, because the game started 11 and church doesn't get over until noon. And then your family wants to go eat. And you're sitting there going, but the game is on. And I remember the draw that I would have of, but you know, we have two services and you could just go to the first service. And because I was on staff, I had to be there throughout the entire morning, but you could go to your office and watch the game on your phone during the second service. That temptation, that draw was there, and it was strong because I didn't want to miss it. Back when I could just record them, my wife loved it when I would watch football on a Sunday afternoon when I could record them, because the 3.5-hour game took me all of 45 minutes to get through. And so I think she misses DVR more than I do for that reason and that reason alone. But there are those who are going to watch every single minute. And maybe for you, you don't care about football, and I'm guessing that most of you really don't care about the Chiefs, but, you know, it might be the Colts, or maybe there's a few out here that it's the Tennessee Titans, because they're not that far away. I'm getting more grimaces on that one than I expected, actually. So, sweet, maybe there is some fun rivalry out here other than the Patriots and the Colts. But maybe it's not football for you. Maybe it's NASCAR. You know, the Indy Speedway isn't that far away from here, and maybe you're big into NASCAR, or maybe it's not any kind of sport at all. And maybe for you, it's The Bachelor, or The Bachelorette, or whatever other Bachelor show is out there right now. Maybe it's a different TV show, like, this is the can't-miss part of my week. Or maybe it's whenever there's a race, I'm going to be at that race. Or whenever there's an art show, I'm going to be at that art show. And don't take this one the wrong way, because I do believe that we should support our children and we should be there for our children, but maybe your can't miss is anything and everything your future superstar child, who's not going to be a superstar in the pros, is in. And you cannot miss it for anything. I say that because, so Andy Stanley is much bolder than a lot of pastors when it comes to saying some things. But he's known to just remind parents, like, your child is not the next Michael Jordan. Like, just get past that part. Your child is not the next Michael Jordan. So don't put that pressure on your child. And then that frees you up a little bit too. But maybe it's something along those lines. Like, there are these can't misses in our lives. And it might be a super important thing. But where does gathering with other believers rank in all of that? Where does the gathering with, you know, in a future generation or a past generation, we would have said, where is the gathering of the saints on your can't miss list? Now, I understand that we are in a different time right now, and there are a lot of health reasons that are being put out there as to why different individuals should not be in the building physically gathering with other people. And I understand that, and I'm not telling you, I'm not guilting you into not being here with other people in this time. But I am going to put out a challenge to anyone who's away for COVID reasons. And the challenge is, don't get so comfortable that when COVID is no longer a reason, that you just look for another reason. Because we can do that. The lake can be a reason that we just neglect meeting together. It's not to say that you can't ever go to the lake, and that's not to say you can't ever miss on a Sunday morning, but the lake can become a thing that, like, that trumps meeting together. Camping can become one of those things. Kids' sports on Sunday mornings can become one of those things. There are so many different things that we can start putting in as our reason. Once we get comfortable with not meeting together, something will fill that space. And it's a lot harder to go back. We were instructed to not neglect meeting together. Now, I understand also that Sunday morning is not the time that works for every individual in the United States. I was talking to an individual who works on Sunday mornings, and there's not really a whole lot that can be done about that. But they still find other ways to make sure that they are gathering with the church and they are gathering with believers because they understand the importance of gathering with believers. I used to kind of have this fear that if I don't go to church, I'm not a good Christian. And then there was this stage where it was you don't really need church to be a Christian, and I believe it's somewhere in the middle. Because I do believe that this is an important part of our walk in the faith. But it's not the end all of our walk in the faith. Because you can also be here every Sunday morning and still not really be walking with Him. It can just be something you're checking off your list. So this morning as we continue, I'm going to invite you to kind of remember first what we read that many of you have read. But what we read in the early part of Acts is we're reading about the early church. That we read about a people who were devoted to one another. They were committed to one another. You're seeing it come up on your screen. I'm not going to read it word for word. I'm going to invite you to read it over my shoulder. But these people were committed and devoted to one another. They were meeting, get this, they were meeting daily with one another. Which really kind of makes the once a week gathering seem like, wow, we are already pretty lazy. Which is an uncomfortable thing to hear. But when you compare, it kind of makes us look like, wow, this is not a big, big, giant ask. But it is an important ask. This morning, like I said, we're gonna do things a little different. And later I'm going to come up and I'm going to give you the why. Why is this so important? Jesus told her, the writer of Hebrews, through God, which Jesus is a part of God, is the Trinity. Jesus told us that we are to meet together and not to neglect that. But why did he tell us that? I'm going to invite you to be asking him that question as we go on this morning. And a little bit later, I'm going to get up and I'm going to answer that. But right now, well, answer that. I'm going to give you a thought about that. But right now, I would invite you to stand back up. And we're going to continue in worship through song as we sing about the great things that God does when we decide that we're going to follow him and we're going to pursue him, we're going to listen to him. But honestly, the great things that he does even when we don't decide to do that. Because that's the kind of heavenly Father that he is. All right, so in Wyoming, we clapped on the offbeat. Here, you guys clap on the beat. That's totally fine. Just got to get used to each other. Totally all right. I decided I'll just cut out on this one and let you guys take that. That was awesome. You guys can grab a seat again if you would like. This is kind of starting to feel like the old school church where it's like stand up, sit down over and over again. Trying to get your blood pressure, you know, staying up there and staying healthy this morning. I like looking out there and seeing some of these masks out there too. I don't know if you guys have worn them around at all, but we just went to Holiday World on Friday with our family. And on the water park side, you don't have to wear a mask because you would drown. So that's kind of a big deal. But on the normal amusement park side, you've got to have your mask on if you walk inside a building or you're standing in a long line. So these are the masks that we wore. And I can't tell you how many comments I got about the mask. And most of them were very positive. There weren't like a lot of questions about it. But they're just, you know, hey, I love your mask. I love your mask. So just getting out there that, hey, we can actually love church. I remember growing up, I had, you know, well, I would say a lot of friends in school, but our school was really small, so I don't know that there was a possibility for a lot of friends. But I had friends in school, and some of them were like, you, and this is a true story, you must belong to a cult because you actually enjoy going to church. Because they didn't enjoy going to church. So what? How great is it to enjoy being with other people and to be able to, you know, wear something like this and just tell people, I enjoy it. Like, it's not something I have to do. I enjoy it. If some of you are sitting in here and you're like, yeah, I'm not at that point. Like, I'm not at the enjoyment point. I'm glad you're here, even if you got drug in here by your ear or any other body part. I'm glad that you were here this morning. I also got a lot of comments because I have a fanny pack that I got at our staff Christmas party last year, and I haven't worn a fanny pack since I was probably 10, but I was wearing this thing around, and it's a belly button on the fanny pack, and it's got this big red mark like someone's just been picking at the belly button all day long. I got a lot of comments about that too. It was incredible. The first comment was, that is the most disgusting fanny pack I've ever seen in my life. But later on, I got that is the coolest thing ever. And that was from a grown woman. And my daughters are standing there like, please don't tell him that. Please don't tell him that you like this thing. But all that to say, none of that was planned. That was just, I saw some people wearing their masks and I put mine back on because I was going to be around the children. And then I ended up standing back there anyway, so it didn't really matter that much. But you look good with your mask. I don't know if you noticed, but Keely had hers holding her ponytail in place. So like I said, they can serve so many different purposes when you have this mask out there. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you would like to turn there, I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. But I want us to look at least one of the whys as to why we come here. You know, I think there's a lot of different whys. One of those is that we can laugh together. And honestly, in our world, we just need laughter. And that's not just because we're in 2020. That's because we live on planet Earth, and there is always something that we need that release, and we need that ability to laugh. There is the, I need people to build me up. And I need to gather together because I need that moment of experiencing God. I love how Tom Rainier says it, that we do not go to a worship experience, or at least he wants us to kind of reform our thinking. We do not go to a worship experience. We go to experience God. And when we kind of start to rethink our intent for coming here and our goal of what we're getting out of this, then that kind of puts our focus a little bit different. It's not just about how I feel when I leave, but it's about God being present with me while I was here and God being present as I leave here and experiencing that with other people. So there are a lot of reasons, and a lot of them, truthfully, are for me. Like, I come here because I can be fulfilled, and I can learn about joy, and I can experience peace, and there's all these different things. But the reason I want to talk to you this morning about why it's important to come together and to gather together, whether it be on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night or whenever it is, to gather in a larger body beyond the smaller group that we talked about last week and the importance of the smaller group, but also the importance of the large group. That reason actually that I want to talk about this morning has nothing to do with you. But it also has everything to do with you. Don't you love those little paradoxes when a speaker points out, this has nothing to do with you, but also everything to do with you? No, it isn't about you. And that, you know, we talked several weeks ago about how as a church member, we need to decide that we will be servants. Not that we will occasionally serve, but that we will be servants. And coming here, I believe, one of the most important reasons, if not the most important reason to come here, is actually not for you. Not so that you can walk out here because you've had a tough week and now you're built back up. Although I do think that is something that happens often, and I think it is important. It's not so, you know, you can come here and learn a new song that you can have throughout the week, although I think that's important because it's something that we can focus on throughout our week. It's not even so much so that you can hear what a pastor has to say so that you can learn a little bit more about your relationship and your walk with God, although that is something that happens, and I believe that it's important. Side note that we're going to talk about for the next several weeks is I also believe that it's important that you question everything that I say while I'm up here and any speaker, what they say. Not necessarily with the critical, I'm doubting everything that's being said, but that you put it to the test. Paul even said, take my words and put these to the test. Line them up against scripture, line them up with reality, put them to the test. And I want to invite you to do that same thing. But the reason that I want to talk about this morning with coming together, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 12. I don't think we have all of this for up here, so you'll have to read along with me until we get to that part, because I decided I wanted to go back a little bit further after we already made the slides. But it says, for as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it all belongs to the body. This makes total sense to us. We all have body parts, and some of us have lost body parts over the years, and we realize we really miss that body part, unless it's an appendix, and then you're sitting there going, why did I have that in the first place? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. Then we're going to get into a little bit more specific of what we're going to talk about this morning. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. This kind of starts feeding into what we talked about several weeks ago, and the importance of unity. We can't have the body fighting against itself. So if one member, presentable parts, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Each and every one of you, and each and every one of you who are on the other side of a screen right now, play a vital part of the body. And if you're gone, if you're not present, if you decide that this isn't important to play your part in the body of Christ, then the whole body suffers because of it. Now, I don't say that to be a guilt trip on anybody. Again, there are times we're on vacation. There are times where, you know, there's just different things that pull us away, that there's nothing that we can really do about it. I'm not talking about the every now and then things. I'm talking about the habitual things. It is considered to be a member of a church these days, to be a regular attender of a church, if you go 2 out of every 4 weeks. And really, as they're studying this and as they're looking at this, they're seeing that with the effects of COVID, their prediction is that a regular church attender will be somebody who shows up in the building once every 4 weeks. So 25% of the time is considered regular. That is stealing a lot from the body of Christ. And here's why I believe that so strongly. We have gone through a time where we've had to attend church, to attend the church gathering, I should say. We've had to attend that online. We're in a time right now where there are those who are in an at-risk category where it's being advised that you continue to meet online. But there will come a time, I believe this, where that will not be the case anymore. And where we can comfortably and safely and without fear meet together once again. And it's important for you to be here instead of on a screen or instead of halfway through a week. Because on a screen, we cannot look one another in the eye and see if somebody is suffering, like it talked about in there. I don't know about you. Some of you are more honest than I am when it comes to your online presence. I mean, I realize I better back that up really fast, or else you're going to be like, oh, our pastor lies to us all the time. No, as far as our online presence, I have a very, very small online footprint. But when I do, I don't typically get on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it may be and just put out all of my laments out there for everyone to see. Some people do, and that's great, but I don't. So if you only have an online interaction with me, you will almost never know when I am struggling. And you will almost never know when I am hurting. And some would say, well, I need to be more open and I need to be more honest online. And maybe that's part of it, but it still comes back to, with an online presence, or even just over the phone, we can hide a lot that we can't hide when we look into somebody's eyes. Even with a mask on, you can still see more about what's going through my mind than you can see online. Now, there are people who can't come, period. You know, maybe you're bedridden, or in a nursing home, or whatever it may be, you cannot come. And that's not me saying you have no part in the body. I believe there is still a very important part in the body for those who can't come. And prayer is a big part of that part of the body's role. That's a lot of parts in one sentence. I apologize for that. But prayer is a big part that some of us play. And so I'm by no means discounting the parts of the body that can't be in the building. But when we can, there are so many things that we get to do for others just by being here. Now, there are lots of ways to serve, and we talk a lot about those. But I also believe that by having a child observe us worship, and this is why I talked as much as I did earlier about clapping and looking like you're enjoying worshiping and reminding yourself who it is that you're celebrating and who it is that you're worshiping, because the way we do it here, children are watching. And it is, so my little girls, Keely, age 9, she was the one up here singing, Tegan, age 7, when we first started at Highland, you know, we would go on Saturday night because on Sunday morning they were in Kidsmen. Sarah and I were both in different areas of the church on staff working on Sunday mornings. And so we couldn't worship together as a family on Sunday morning. But on Saturday night we would go, and my daughters would be out in the aisles just dancing throughout the entire worship service. And eventually they started observing that none of the older people did that. And now, again, I'm not telling us that we need to be out in the aisles dancing. But it breaks my heart when I hear a young child say, well, nobody else does any of that stuff. And so I feel weird when I do that stuff. I feel weird when I'm clapping and nobody else is. I feel weird when I'm singing loud and nobody else is singing loud. So part of our responsibility as we gather together is to help raise the little children that we only see once a week, and help show them how to worship. But the little kids have a great role in this too, because they get to show us how to worship. We get to show them, and they get to show us, and their excitement can feed off into us, and our excitement can feed off into them, and hopefully it's not our lack of excitement that feeds off into them, but it's our excitement. And they may understand that as they get older, it's going to change, and worship will look different. But that's just one of the many ways we see people in their suffering, and so we can suffer with them. But we also see little children, and we can lead them in worship even if we're not up here on a platform. And they can lead us in worship even if they're not up on a platform. And we can build one another up, and we can encourage one another by being here. And as you leave, you may not have liked a single song. You may not have gotten a thing out of the sermon, out of the message that was presented that morning. But you could have still made a difference in somebody else's life just by being here. And when we skip for all of these other can't misses in our life, then the church suffers because of it. It's important to meet together. Some of you are going to leave today, and you're going to feel like I just put a major guilt trip on you. And that is not at all what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to emphasize why it is so important for us to be together. I could go on, and I could do an entire series on what you get out of it. But it's easy to sit here and say, well, that's not what I feel when I leave. So, yes, some people may feel that way when they leave. Some people may have felt the presence of God, but I don't feel that when I'm there, so I'm not concerned about going. But that's why we need to remember that it's not just about what we feel when we're here. Now, I don't want you to fake it. I don't want you to, well, my kid's watching, so I need to act like I care about this. But at the same time, just like we did earlier when we started clapping together and you started seeing, well, you didn't see them because you see the back of each other's heads, which is kind of sad sometimes. But what I started seeing was smiles starting to come on people's faces. And I started to see more people kind of start to sway a little bit. Maybe some of you were kind of remembering the 70s and the 80s. And you're like, hey, not the bad parts of the 70s and the 80s, but the good parts. And some of you are starting to get into it a little more, because sometimes it just takes that first step out of our comfort zone, and all of a sudden, the worship of the Father just opens up in a way that we didn't think was going to happen. It is awkward when you're the only one doing it, but you might be the one person that needs to get it started for the 20 people sitting around you. One last reason that for you to be here is important that I want to talk about this morning that has nothing to do with you, is that when you're here, you actually notice when other people aren't. You notice when that family has missed for the last 2, 3, 4 weeks. And because you see them week in and week out, because in general, if you're not Mike Anson, you sit in the same spot almost every single week. Again, Mike, I love it that you move around. Don't stop doing that. But in general, we mostly sit in the same spots, and you get to kind of start knowing the people who sit in your area. And if someone's missing for a long time, you might realize, like, hey, maybe I should reach out to that person and just make sure everything's okay. Not in the creepy, like, hey, I noticed you weren't here for the last month. What's going on in your life? But just the reach out of, hey, haven't been able to worship with you for the past month or so. Just wondering if everything's okay. Is there a way that I can pray for you? Is there a way that I can celebrate with you? And then that person realizes that they are important in the church gathering and that they have a role to play in worshiping together. And it becomes infectious in a good way. I know right now infectious is a really bad word, but it becomes infectious in a good way that it begins to spread how important it is for us to meet together. Again, I could go on and on with this, but I promise, one, the worship team, that I would keep it short since they're sitting up here the entire time. But I also don't want to belabor the point and just beat a dead horse. We were instructed to meet together, to not neglect it, not to guilt one another when we don't make it, not to throw accusations at one another when we don't make it. But in order to encourage and build up the body, we were instructed to meet together. Coming here in the gathering to worship is not just about you and God. It is about the entire body and God. And so the song that we're going to end with this morning, I don't I don't know for sure. I think Deanna said that it had been done here other than when we did it online for one of the worship services, but that could be wrong. It's actually a prayer for other people. It's not a prayer for you. It's not a God bless me, God thank you for what you've done for me. But the words of this song, and Keith, I'm going to invite you to come back up, and the worship team will get ready here. But it says, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And as we sing that, I'm going to invite you to do something that might feel a little bit uncomfortable. And if you don't do it, I'm not going to get back up next week and reprimand you or anything like that. I don't have that authority anyway. But I'm going to invite you to not just look at the screen and to not just look at those of us who are up here on the platform, but I'm going to invite you to look around. And, I mean, I know we don't want to make like that awkwardly long eye contact unless you're a teenage boy and you're looking at the girl that you're really interested in. Looking around to see if we have any of that going on in here. But just look at someone and just sing a line to them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. And make that your prayer for others throughout this week. Would you stand with us one last time this morning?